supposed to be a sermon, or supposed to be like dialogue or lesson, and he said, no, it's not supposed to be a sermon, but it looks like it's a sermon, you know. So I remember I read one book in when I was young, and writer, he talking about word preach in the New Testament, the Greek word preach. He said it's a two kind of types of work, keruso and dialogomai, or dialogazomai. And he said every time when we see in the Bible word preach, keruso, to unbelievers, it's like one-way speech. And if you see word preach, dialogazomai, it's kind of to church. So this is English word dialogue come from that Greek word. So I think it's the best way to us today have a dialogue. I don't agree with him because it's not really true in New Testament. But the idea, I like it. Church supposed to be teaching like this with dialogue when we together and meditate about Bible and his words, about God and his word. But before we start, as always, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we came this morning before you for worship you. We glorify you and thank you for your word you gave to us. We thank you for your word was made of flesh, and we thank you, Jesus, you have open ears for and obedient to the words of God. Please help us in this time also have open ears, and in your name we pray, amen. Of course, when I think about what the topic is will be this morning, what we can meditate together, because I knew it will be some serious smart people here, so who knew more than me. So I decided just like share with you what I was thinking about, because I have some topics probably a lot of topics in the Bible, but I still have no answer, you know. Still continue teaching and learning, and so now it's took one of the topics. So I have a question. Is it Jesus was surprised? Was Jesus surprised when you read the gospel? Is it kind of marvelous? Marvelous? Is that the correct word? Marvelous, like surprise, like marvel, yes. Do you remember in the gospel if Jesus was marveled 1, 2 times, 3 times? Yeah, it's. I found only two times in the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 6. And do you remember what was that? Why he was surprised? He was surprised only twice. How you can surprise, let me see, I even put this, How is possible to surprise the one who knew all things? So let's open and see. Because I can see you don't remember why he was surprised. Okay. So the Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 6 and 6. Who can? Oh, I don't say the words. I see the words. Anybody found why? I don't remember the words. Yeah, centurion, yeah. Can anybody read that verse when it says this was surprised? Okay.
Turn replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you touch my roof, but only say the word of my servant will be healed, for I do a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes. Did my servant do this, and he does it? When Jesus heard this, he marveled, said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, if no one in Israel have I found such faith.
Sure. Thank you. So we can see Jesus was surprised by faith first time, because of faith of pagans, pagans of centurion of that. And the second time it's Mark 6, in chapter 6 and verse 6. Who can read for us? Yep.
They marveled because of their unbelief. They went round about the
village. See, it's the only two times when I found, I know if you, when Jesus was surprised. And by time he, by two times he was surprised by faith. The first time he was surprised because it was a great faith, and second time because of great no faith. So, and my question is if, probably you know, if, I will ask you, what is the best chapter in Bible about faith? You probably, you would say with me, Hebrew 11, right? It's a, we call this chapter, many people call the chapter Hebrew 11, it's a, like a gallery of biblical of God's heroes. So you, you will not find streets named after that people, you know. Or you will not find their name in the, like some popular magazine. But they are God's heroes, you know. God gives them the highest rewards, the highest evaluation, you know. So what I meditate, like probably the last couple years, not every day, but maybe like once in a couple months, if my faith pleasantly surprised God or not. If God, when He looks on my life, you know, He can say, look at this man, look at his faith, it's surprised me. Or it's my question to you, is it possible to surprise God? Yeah.
So you expect it to be reversed because you ask you would pay 10,000 less. So I wonder about that to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with this even I don't know how it's named in English. Yair. He was in synagogue as a like supervisor in synagogue, and he asked about his daughter. He was a Jewish, and he asked, "Come to my house." So he's supposed to have a fight, and the centurion, he was a not Jewish, but he said, "Not come to my house. It's enough for you to say just a word." So, and also, so continue speaking about the if how is our faith before God, and is it? So my question is to you, brothers and sisters, is it possible to surprise God with our faith? What do you think?
Hopefully in the second round of the first.
And also in Hebrew 11:16, it say interesting. But know they desire a better country that is not heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for they has prepared for them a city. So it's I don't know an answer for this question, but How can God be ashamed? Or He cannot be ashamed. So, but, of course, I know we knew the answer, but, so I would like to share with you and just like encourage you to think the next week, thinking about our faith, thinking about how God's, how we, God's offers, we knew about Jesus Christ and we knew the saved. And we are simple people, we may make a mistake. And I think we can be a heroes of God. We can be, it's not popular today, you know, it's not popular, like we're talking about grace a lot, which is, it's good, it's supposed to be like that. But I just want to see a little different accent in our lives. And what does it mean today to be heroes of God? You've got mentioned all those people, on they was heroes on that time. What does it mean for us today in present time, in 2018, to be a heroes of God? To check, to come to Lord and say, check me and help me to be, you know. Is any commentary or any?
I think maintaining a Christian school is a heroic act in light of the ease of which we could just hand over to the government our responsibility. Make it cheap and easy for ourselves. So I think there's something heroic as well as necessary, right? I mean,
yeah.
These things that are heroic are actually things that we should do anyway.
Yeah.
So, more generally, perhaps simply, it's to have the humility to love other people. Which means to give up yourself, to actually give up yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
But this is that often very kind of folks look to the future in more or less restless situations where they're required to, or their expectations are for them to betray the Lord on their own. All of the immediate rewards for these public Christian lives. People like Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And that remaining faithful, if I could carry on a little bit on that idea,
mm-hmm.
is that when you stand against evil, and if you're faithful in doing that, then in, especially in the culture and the way it's headed today, it has been heading for decades, but seems to have reached some kind of a point of depravity that would be hard for us to have mentioned, to have imagined, you know, just 20, 30 years ago. And that requires, a faith. And so just by living and just by standing against the tide of evil, and sometimes you're required to speak out against it. And we saw in the incident with our school here of 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
that
yep.
standing against something that is notoriously evil, and yet the so-called leaders of our society, even here in New Hampshire, have been caught up in this wave and they're just swept along by it. And they're not standing for things that are right or wrong, but they're standing for the popular will of the evil. It's almost like we're living in Nazi Germany and that crescendo of evil, and nobody wants to speak and we withdraw because we're afraid. And there are
a
certain element of fear involved. But, you know, that's why these people were heroes, because they stood against evil. And we are called to do the same today.
Yeah, the James chapter 4, I don't remember the last verse, right? It say like, if we knew how it's good to do it, but not do is a sin, right? So it's what that, and, but I agree with our guest, so, because I'm not a hero, like, in this way, like, stand up in, I think so, but I agree, what my meditation was about when I think about this topic is to be faithful. Even when I came to this country and I go to the job, and I can see nobody do the job like hard work. They kind of try to put some, you know, a little bit in the laziness way, you know. And it's kind of, it's temptation to do the same, to follow this pattern, you know? So, for example, I was inspectors and it's, they left a lot of parts for the second, for the shift will come, for the next shift. And as a Christian, as a Bible, just like that told me, like, you have to do this way. And it's just like being faithful, whatever it teach. If you're supposed to do on time, if anybody do like cheating with the time, punch in, punch out, be faithful with this. Don't do this. Do right. But again, in some case, when we have to against, and it's faithfulness. Faithfulness to our principle. Faithfulness. But like, why I talk about heroes today? Just like because I think in many churches today, it's not popular talk about do something special for God or like be faithful. Just like we're saved by grace. It's true. It's definitely true. It's the most important. I agree. But for the young children, for our teenagers, our children, I think they are supposed to be born for the serve for God, like not for anybody else, just like something, you know, really heroically, not like.
Yeah, you're raising a good point, I think, because you know, when I have preached through books of the Bible, and you see that word grace. More often than not, the word does not mean God forgives you, which is true.
Yeah.
Saved by grace. But actually, the main use of the word is God enables you. You know, grace is primarily for the purpose of being able to live by faith. You know, not to live without faith. Yeah. like 1 Peter 4 is a good example of this. You know, God's grace enables people to have different gifts, some to speak the very oracles of God, some to do service with the strength that God supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's grace. Grace is what causes that to happen. So, yeah, I think we do misunderstand grace if we just say it covers our misdeeds rather than saying its primary purpose is to transform us for right deeds.
Thank you. Yeah, I think even that famous verse, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you saved, and then verse 10 say for what? For the good deeds, what does the God prepare for us to do? Right. So, and okay.
When I think of things like the constant prayer for us should be Psalm 139:23-24, search me, O God, and know my heart, mm-hmm. I believe and know my thoughts, and then see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So, you know, it's like a constant prayer. One of our constant prayers should be, know us well, tell us, change our faith to do us.
Yeah, I agree. It's only way how we can be here, ask God to to help us. Because, from Him, through Him, and to Him. Yep. Don't.
I think doing something heroic is doing something you would naturally do because of the grace God's given us. But nobody else would expect you to do it by their own standard. You know, every time we stand in the breach, the whole world looks at you and says, wow, I can't imagine anybody would do that. That is, heroism, I guess, is in that sense that you have to make is great. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you, John. This looks like Tanya wants to say something. Okay, if it's interesting, that verse that I read about the God not ashamed. I think the same words, it's only twice in this. It's not really often words in New Testament. But I think in Hebrews it's only two times, and it's the other time it's a chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I just want to finish like good Reformed, you know, speaking about Jesus, because. So, chapter two. Hebrews chapter two. Verse 11. Yes, exactly. Thank you. So, for folks, who can read for me? It's good English. Yep. Yes, please. 11.
Just 11.
Mm-hmm.
Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, which cause he is not ashamed of the Father
and Brother. So, our big hero is Jesus, and this verse, like I say, it's only two times when we say this word, he's this word, ashamed. So, that heroic chapter when God say about his heroes, and he so we say he's not ashamed to call to be their God. And here we see the biggest hero who may make everybody heroes. He not ashamed to call us brothers. So we can be heroes because of Jesus. And it is good news, and just, I know in this room probably we don't have a problem with this. Everybody heroes here. I want to encourage you, not give up. Keep going. Because it's not really easy when you have, but then not really see much heroes around you, or it's a little bit very easy to give up and say I can live like everybody else. Because no, don't do this. Keep going this way, and looking at our biggest hero, Jesus, and with his help, we, like the Philippians say, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things with through Christ who strengthened me. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words you give to us. We thank you for your heroes, for these examples what you teach us about, first of all, about you, about your power, about your love, about who you are and who we are. Thank you for these examples who we may be through you. Please help us during next week and today thinking about your work, what you do in us and through us, and help us to be so surprised to you, surprised by our faith, by your grace. In Jesus' name we ask you and worship you. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
And how I can pronounce? See?